It's Central Time. I'm Judith Sears Poisson.
And I'm Rob Farah. You're with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up on Central Time, we'll find out what the United Nations General Assembly had to say yesterday about the growing issue of antibiotic resistance around the world.
First, internet giant Yahoo announced yesterday that at least 500 million of their users had their personal information stolen in a massive security breach orchestrated by hackers in 2014.
The hack could have broad consequences for Yahoo users, since hackers not only exposed passwords, but birth dates, security questions, and a lot more.
Robert DeVidio joins us now. He's an associate professor of criminology and justice studies at Drexel University. He has an expertise in the area of electronic crime. Rob, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you for having me on.
So I have to say it's a little mind-boggling, but Yahoo is saying that there are at least 500 million users who have been exposed in this breach. What does that even look like? How much data is out there?
This certainly is not commonplace when we talk about the number of people that were potentially affected by this breach. The 500 million is a lot of users, though. You know, people need to recognize the sky is definitely not falling. I mean, potentially they're at risk. Just because the data were breached doesn't mean they're being used or that they can even be used.
And Yahoo was one of the first companies to offer free email, and I think a lot of people have Yahoo accounts because they started it many years ago, and it's, you know, just been easier to keep it. How could this breach maybe shake confidence and trust in Yahoo?
Well, I mean, there's certainly there's a silver lining in this, right? In that it's a free email account. A lot of people don't use very detailed or even accurate information when signing up for a free email account. There's no incentive for them to do it. There's no verification process. So, you know, we could be talking about an overwhelming majority of those users when it comes to email accounts that have been compromised here, that the data really will not lead back to an individual identity. So we want to keep that in mind and keep it in perspective. But to me, the real danger here is the fact that most people use similar passwords across multiple accounts.
And why is that particularly a danger? Say a hacker grabs information from a Yahoo account and they find out that someone's password is password 123 for that. If someone uses that same password 123 for, say, a sign-in on an online shopping service, why is that a risk that they're using the same password?
Because the hackers know that we, for the most part, are lazy, right? In the sense that a lot of people are going to do that. So they'll say, all right, Yahoo, they'll try your password account for Yahoo. They'll try it with a Google account. They'll try it with a Facebook account. They'll try it with these other commonly used online resources that tend to be free because they know that people are so willing to have multiple accounts. I mean, just think about your own footprint, right? I know I have multiple free email accounts, and I use one for work. One for, you know, family mm-hmm. type of stuff. I use one as a personal account. I have social media accounts. And people get lazy when it comes to their own, you know, we call it security hygiene and making sure that they have individualized and complex passwords across all accounts.
We're talking right now about the news that Yahoo users, up to 500 million of them, were exposed in a recent breach of security. It actually happened in 2014, but we're just hearing about it now. We're talking with Rob DeVidio about that. He is an associate professor of criminology and justice studies at Drexel University. Now, we hear pretty often about different security and data breaches, sometimes associated with stores and shopping, like there was a quite significant Target data breach not that long ago. And that seems to be tied to people who have used credit cards there. How different is it, and is one more serious than the other when we look at, say, an email data breach versus that kind of data breach?
This particular breach with Yahoo is certainly easier to mitigate as someone who could be affected, because we're not really dealing, in this case, we're not dealing with credit card data. We're not dealing with account access to financial information and financial accounts where people have the ability to lose real real-world money. Here we're talking, and we're pretty much limited to, for the majority of the people being impacted here, we're limited to email accounts. That's something that you can easily go in very quickly and change and then move on and realize I'm done with this. It's not going to impact me anymore. If we were talking about Social Security numbers, we were talking about credit card numbers, there's a whole host of other complications that go into monitoring your credit and monitoring your accounts that you would need to do for a period of time in order to make sure that you weren't being further victimized.
So this news just came out about this breach, but it actually happened in 2014. How long does it generally take for a company to notice an attack like this?
Well, it's interesting. There are a number of reports that we can point to. The Verizon data breach report, which has been an annual report that they've been publishing each year, gets at this very issue, right? And we're not talking, you know, at times we're talking about weeks, multiple weeks, right, up to a year following an incident until that incident is discovered by the particular company whose networks have been breached. So this is not that uncommon. Often we also have to recognize that, you know, once they know about it, they automatically don't start publicizing it. They work with a law enforcement agency that, you know, can assist, and then they figure out strategically, is it in their best interest, if the goal is to stop further victimization and identify the people responsible, it might not be in their best interest to make it public, right? So we're still not sure exactly what went on here in the sense of, did they know about sooner, a few weeks back, a month or two ago, and, you know, law enforcement said to, let's keep this hushed so we can find out what happened here. So, you know, it's different from incident to incident. There's a silver lining in this for a number of reasons. I mentioned one earlier, but another thing here is the fact that it happened in 2014. Chances are if your data were going to be misused, if your email account or other type of Yahoo service was going to be misused, it would already happen. After these breaches occur, the information is pretty quickly gets out there and gets onto the, you know, the black market mm-hmm. websites that are used to broker and sell this type of data, because the criminals realize this stuff has a very short lifespan, especially if it's connected to financial data.
So this hacker attack, they're saying that it's believed to be state-sponsored. What exactly does that mean?
So, you know, we do know that there are certain organized, let's say, hacking collectives, for lack of a better way to describe them, that are in the business with certain governments, and they derive their financial they get paid and get paid very well for these types of breaches. And my assumption is, and we're still, you know, we don't have all the information to speak on this at a definitive level, but my assumption is there's some sort of signature in the attack methodology, whether it's pointing back to a IP address or a network location that has been used before in past attacks by a particular group that was linked to a state-sponsored that was linked to a specific government agency or entity, or there are certain signatures used in the tools that were maybe used to compromise the security that has helped us identify a particular type of actor. And, so there are a number of ways that they could have come upon or could have made the supposition that it was linked to a state-sponsored actor. But, I mean, essentially what we're talking about is, you know, state-sponsored espionage here.
And I know that Yahoo did not say what country might be implicated in this, but in other instances, have there been specific countries that have been named or identified in these kind of hack attacks?
Certainly. China has certainly been identified in some very large scale breaches, and I wouldn't be surprised again if it's there. But Iran has a very capable in-house network attack capability. North Korea does, believe it or not, even though they can't afford to feed and clothe a good portion of their population. Russia certainly has it. But we can't discount smaller countries. I mean, from a size perspective, Iran, you know, is nowhere near the size of the U.S., China, Russia. But, it, you know, this points to the fact that attacks in cyberspace can be an equalizing sort of force. You don't need a massive amounts of people, and in most instances, you don't need massive, very costly, you know, physical assets like missiles, tanks, fighter jets to create a, you know, a force that's and a capability that's equal to the world's superpowers.
And briefly, as we wrap up, Rob, are there companies that are working on improving security, or is the tech world advancing fast enough to maybe not just counter hacks as they happen or address them after, but actually prevent them?
Well, you know, I think the chain is as strong as the weakest link, and that weakest link could be you, that could be me, any end user that can be, you know, easily duped into some social engineering scheme or from a phishing email that asks them to click on a link that they think is legitimate. And as a result, their account gets compromised. And if you're within an organization that you have some responsibility for security and your account becomes compromised, that opens up Pandora's box and opens up a lot of potential to do some significant damage and get access at a high enough level where you're going to be able to gain some control over that entity's network and the services that it provides. So, you know, I think that when you're talking about the way in which people get into these accounts and, you know, how easy it can be to go from the average customer into the ranks of making that transition to employees and then getting a different type of access, right? We're talking about a very complex type of security structure, right? So simple things like, you know, making sure that you require dual authentication to get into accounts and to change account information.
And we're going to have to leave it there, Rob. Thanks so much. Robert DeVideo is an associate professor of criminology and justice studies at Drexel University. He's an expert on electronic crime and joined us to talk about the announcement of a massive hack of Yahoo users' information.